Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Celtic Way Morning Briefing. It is Tuesday, the 12th of March. My name is Ryan McGinley, at the Ryan McGinley on the X handle. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Kevin McKenna. Kevin, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good, Ryan. I'm good. Yeah. Glad to see spring is upon us and time for that last push that we,
Absolutely. Yeah, the business end of the season as well, and truly arrived if it hasn't done so already. Before we get started, we talk about some of the things, the topics today, and some of them are more positive than others, obviously. I would like to just point everybody to the top of the screen. This video and all of our videos are sponsored by MPH Group. If you're looking for plumbing, heating, kitchen or bathroom work, then look no further than MPH Group. They sponsor this video as well as every other video that we do. If you are interested, please click on the links that will be in the description following this video. And if you do that, you'll be in the running for a seven nights holiday to Cancun with any deal that you take up. So you've got to be in it to win it. If you're looking for work, look no further than MPH Group for all of those appliances and services. And if you would like to support us just that bit more, please press that subscribe button on the YouTube channel and press the subscribe to the Celtic Way website. £4 for 4 months, £18 for a year. Supporting top quality football journalism covering the club you love. We've got a piece on there regarding Nicholas Coon this morning after his good performance against Livingston. I'm sure we'll touch upon that in the morning briefing. If you are interested in subscribing, please go to www.celticway.co.uk/subscribe for more information and press that subscribe button on YouTube. We are just over 400 subscribers away from hitting 10,000. We want to get to 10,000 before the end of the season. If we can do that, then that would be absolutely brilliant. So please get involved, press that subscribe button, and yeah, get participating in the comments section. Kevin, you've not been on for about a week or so, and since then Celtic have progressed to the semi-finals of the Scottish Cup. We found out last night that it will be Aberdeen that we're facing in the semi-final, currently managerless due to the fact that Neil Warnock resigned after his side's win over Kilmarnock at the weekend. I just want to get your quick thoughts on that draw so far. Do you think that's the most positive draw Celtic could have got of the three teams, or would you say that that's a team to be reckoned with due to the fact they've not got a manager and they might be coming into that game maybe in renewed form when a new manager comes in that maybe hits the ground running?
Well, let's be honest here. Before the draw, Aberdeen are who we would have preferred at this stage, simply for the fact that they're probably the weakest. No disrespect to Aberdeen, but at the moment they're the weakest of the three. And whereas in previous seasons, you could say, doesn't really matter who we get because Celtic are playing so well we would have optimism going into a game with any of those three. But we're not. It's as simple as that. We're not playing so well that we can guarantee or even guarantee playing really well against all three of them. Our last two games against Hearts, we've been beaten in, and although there was a lot of controversy about the Tynecastle defeat, the main reason we were beaten there is because we can't take penalties, because that penalty goes in, we win, and none of our midfielders or strikers over the last 2 years can be relied upon regularly to score from the penalty spot. So I'll take the Aberdeen draw because I still think that we need games under our belt that we can win to build confidence and to also, you know, hasten or allow the opportunity for injured players such as Hatate to come back into the team.
I think we'll go on to talk about that in a couple of minutes' time. Hatate being close to a return after the international break that's getting out. But why don't we speak about it just now? We're on Rio Hatate. Why don't we speak about him just now? Everybody knows on this podcast, when they tune into this podcast, they know that Hatate is my favourite player in this team. I think he's so valuable to Celtic playing at a different standard than usual when he's in the team. He's a risk taker. He makes things happen from the midfield. He's dynamic. He's guile. He can beat men. Yeah, the fact that Brendan Rodgers was saying it looks as if he might be able to return after the international break, you know, he won't obviously go away with Japan, but he'll be training alongside the people that aren't called up, the fellow players that aren't called up. You would hope that that'd be Carter Vickers as well. How big a return would Rio Itati be to this team? You know, it seems as if Celtic have been playing without him all season, just given the stop-start nature of his injury. It's such a cliche, but how much of a new signing will that feel like, you know, having who I believe anyway, alongside Callum McGregor, is the best player and midfielder in Scotland when he's fit and firing?
Yeah, I share your admiration for Rio Itati. I do think that he gives us something different. I do think that on his game, he's the most creative and most inventive midfielder in Scotland. And I do think that he picks passes and he reads the game better than anybody else. And he can create. I mean, we saw it in one of the semi-finals last season against Rangers. He literally turned that game in our favour. The way that he can take the ball with his back to goal and know instantly the geography around him is just cannot be overstated. However, as you said, we have played most of this season without him. And so if you're being an optimist, you can say, well, you know, hopefully he's, you know, when he's fit enough to return to the team, he can hit the ground running. And if so, we get the instant benefit. But last season or the season before, when he'd a long injury layoff and he came back, you know, he took a little bit of time to get into his stride because he'd been out for so long. He's been out even longer this time. And I think, I wouldn't be expecting fireworks from him immediately. I hope so. If you have somebody like him coming back from a long injury and, you know, it's around about the middle of the season, then fine. You've got a few games to play yourself in. And unlike the last time when Celtic were playing well, you know, Celtic had momentum when he came back to the team, we could absorb him for a few games getting up to speed. We don't have that luxury. As you said, we're at the business end of the season and Celtic aren't playing very well. And I don't think we're playing well enough to absorb, you know, his first three or four games where he's trying to find his feet. I hope that he does hit the ground running, that his recovery program and the fitness schedule has been sufficiently stern so that, you know, he doesn't have any kind of fitness issues when he comes back. But you know, as any time you're speaking to a professional footballer, they'll all tell you the same thing, that no matter how physically fit you are after a long injury layoff, match fitness is a completely different thing. So here's hoping. If we're still in with a shout, if we're still you know, level pegging with Rangers, or, you know, if we're still, you know, a game, a point or two behind, and it's five games to go and he's hit his stride, that could be a crucial difference. I just want to see him in the team as quickly as possible. And I hate international breaks, but I'm embracing this one because
I think everybody is. Yeah, absolutely. I think everybody's embracing this, you know, from the people following Celtic to Celtic themselves. You know, take that week, that 2 weeks, it could be a big difference. You know, these could be the weeks that, you know, maybe Callum McGregor comes back, Cameron Carter-Vickers comes back, all of a sudden you're going to get thrust straight into it. I believe one of the first games back, or the first game back, is Rangers at Ibrox. You know, Celtic have got to keep themselves right here. And if there's any way that they can stop players from going on international duty, you know, because as friendlies, the vast majority of games that are getting played are friendlies. It's the Euros coming up in the summer. So it's just warm-up games. if they can get any sort of excuse to keep them at the club, then I would be all for that, because this game is massive. These two games against Rangers, and I know Celtic have got a really good record against Rangers so far this season, it's the other games that I'm more worried about, because I think that Celtic take care of themselves in these games, but it's the other games that they maybe struggle to get up for. It's a temperamental attitude, and I'm really confused by it this season. I'm still trying to rack my brains about it. But if Hatate is, I think you've got to bookmark Hatate for that post-match, that post-split game against Rangers at Celtic Park. That is the big game for him. If he can target being in full fitness for that, I believe that he can be the difference between the two teams on that day. We've seen it before. We've seen it with other players as well. You know, Hatate's run Celtic Rangers games single-handedly. I remember in Cham did it before the sort of downturn in his form. He was running games. Celtic need a player like that can just take the game by the scruff of the neck and really run with it. If he can get a couple of games before that post-match, before that's post-split match with Rangers, then I think Celtic are in with a real chance. If they can maybe get a result at Ibrox, maybe even a point, and then win that game at home, then I think they'll be in a really, really good position. That's the game that Hatate, I think, should be focusing on. If he can get back earlier, then brilliant. But if there's one game that you would want him to be fit for, it's the home game against Rangers, because I think he could be the difference maker. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Celtic have got a good record at Ibrox as well. We have played better at Ibrox without the fans than Rangers have played against us at Parkhead without fans. We've had nothing to fear. Our players have stood up well to the pressure. Even if you go back to the beginning of Ange Postecoglou's first season, when Rangers beat us 1-0. Celtic played very well in that game. It was a good game all round. And, you know, we knew players, we had young players, and they all stood up well. And they have done, with the exception of the dead rubber last season. And even then, we should have been two goals up before halftime. I would not like to go to Ibrox without Cameron Carter-Vickers. I think, you know, Big Scales has had a great season, but he's struggled recently. I don't want to criticise Welsh, because he's doing as well as he can, but when those two players play together, other clubs, other teams, can sense blood in the water, as Livingston did last week, let's be fair. So we need that, and we need Callum McGregor at Ibrox as well. Not least for the fact that, he turns up in these big games. He's got a great record against Rangers, but my Rangers friends fear him more than any other Celtic player, and have done for several years. Whenever I meet up with them, they're tearing their hair out at how unable their midfield has ever been, no matter what formation they try, to get near Callum McGregor. And you ought to see them amongst themselves remonstrating with each other and with Rangers players, because they can't understand why Callum McGregor seems to be allowed to take games against Rangers with the scruff of the neck and just run them. So psychologically, we need him in. We go to Ibrox without Callum McGregor, they get a big psychological boost. But I think he'd probably, he'll be fine. But I agree with you. Just tell them forget about the these two international games. You know, why are they arranging two friendlies, at this stage of the season? Anyway, I don't know. It's a nonsense. And there's not a single Celtic fan, who would, who would want Callum McGregor to be away in international duty when we've got, crucial seven games coming up.
Yeah, I would guarantee that Man City, Arsenal and Liverpool fans are all in the same boat as well, because they're in a very, very tight title race, even more tighter than the one that's currently in Scotland, you would say, because there's three teams going for it. They'll have basically their whole teams going out on international duty. So it's not, I don't want to make it just a Celtic problem, but it would be ideal if, you know, those players, especially the players just coming back from injury, not wanting to re-aggravate any old injuries that they have, you know, do your recuperation at home, go into training, and get ready for that game coming up, because it's going to be absolutely massive. I just want to bring up an interesting news story that came out this morning or last night. It was between last night and this morning. It was regarding Nicholas Coon. Now, I thought Nicholas Coon was the best player on the park on Saturday, especially in the first half. He looked as if a guy that had realised, oh, I can beat players. I'm a good football player. I can show what I'm doing. It's almost as if he heard the noise, maybe heard the negative noise going about him since he joined, and he was like, I'm going to put this right. I'm going to give Christian Montano an absolute nightmare for 60, 65 minutes. That was a mismatch between those two players, and I did comment on that while I was at the match. It was really just bullying him at every single opportunity in a 1v1. But Brendan Rodgers, I'm presuming this was after the match, this was comments or quotes that were held back for a couple of days, but Brendan Rodgers was speaking to the media, and he was saying that Nicholas Coon has been dealing with things off the pitch. He's been... It was a dental operation that he had, but he's also lost weight as a result of that. Now, I think the figure was 7 kilos that he'd lost. And for a small guy like Coon, Coon's not the biggest player on the park. That's a massive difference. You know, that can affect your running. It can affect your, definitely affect your physicality. Do you think maybe that's what's been the problem with Coon in terms of getting up to speed, that potentially that weight loss, the fact that he's bringing it back now, maybe putting on a bit of muscle as well, and now you're seeing the real Nicholas Coon rather than the one that's been maybe struggling in recent games or in recent months since he joined the club?
Well, yeah, it explains it up to a point. You know, it's plausible. But I think what was disappointing or what was alarming for Celtic fans in his first few performances, and I know that he scored for us at Pittodrie, even though we didn't play well and it was only a 1-1 draw, but you know, that point may yet prove crucial. But a lot of Celtic fans were asking, this is a £3.5-4 million player from a big club in Austria. And it wasn't just that he was weak. Just didn't look. There were so many things missing from his game. But then you're thinking, well, you know, it's only, what, 2-3 matches. And... then I saw him against Livingston, and you know, he's a different player. And I know you could say, well, it's only Livingston, but Livingston played well against us and
scored the two best goals in the game as well.
They've had a horrible time with injuries over the course of the season. You would venture to say that if the season was starting now, Livingston wouldn't be performing. You know, Livingston within a few months wouldn't be rooted at the bottom of the table. So yeah, he played really well. I love, you know, he was quick. I love the way that he was, you know, attacking his opponent, and he had a confidence about him. He was playing with the head up, you know, his crossing, as we saw for the last goal. You know, if this is the real Coon, then great. I can see why we paid that amount of money. Again, you know, we have to cut players like that a bit of slack, players that we get in a January transfer window. And I suspect that it will be next season where we will see whether he has what it takes. It's unfair to expect a January transfer signing immediately to come in and set the header alight. In previous seasons, it hasn't really mattered because we've been playing, you know, we played well. We have been playing well. We're sitting pretty at the top of the league. You know, he's come into a team that was hit by injuries, that was struggling to perform, that was a bit low in confidence. So again, I'll be an optimist here. He definitely looked a player, and yeah, let's see. But again, you know, let's not expect him to be the difference on whether we win the league or not. It's unfair at this stage, you know, for a young player who's a January signing to be that. But that's indicative of how fragile we have been all season.
Yeah, right wing as well. You know, the departure of Abada, you know, the fact that James Forrest is, despite his positive cameo against Livingston, Brendan Rodgers was quite clear on what he was saying. He can't press for the 90 minutes like he used to. You know, Father Time catches up with absolutely every single player. And it seems to be the case with James Forrest, though I would say, and I did say this in the post-match briefing or on Monday's briefing, I said that James Forrest's injury in 2020 and that, you know, report or that supposed 10 in a row season has really hampered his career, because he was an ever-present until he wasn't, and then he was out for that full season and he's not really been able to get in the swing of things since then. But he did look bright against Livingston, but it will be up to the likes of maybe James Forrest for a smaller impact, but Yang and Kuhn, those two players have got to, they've got to take the mantle, basically. They've got to take the initiative. And whoever plays, Yang's obviously banned for the next game against St Johnstone. He'll be back for Livingston away. It's up to Kuhn now to make sure that Kuhn is the first name on the team sheet when they return. I'm just thinking now on the games that the first game back for Celtic will be Livingston away before the Rangers game.
So
that is a bit of a, I was going to say it's a relief, but it's still on the plastic pitch, so it is a bit of an issue. But, you know, it's good that they've got a sort of warm-up game before they go into the nitty-gritty of the Glasgow derby. That'll be a good game for Yang to come back. You know, he'll have had an international break. It doesn't look as if he's getting called up for South Korea, so he's got a full sort of week or 2 weeks to prepare for that game, coming back from a suspension, maybe have a bounce game somewhere and get back into that side. But it's up to Kuhn, up to Yang to take that load between the pair of them and whoever gets the nod, either that or Palmer as well, to make that difference on the right wing. What's your sort of opinion been on Yang in the past couple of games? I know that he got that really unlucky sending off at Tynecastle, a very contentious decision, to put it lightly. But I think he was a bright spot before then.
You're just
hoping that those, the two games that he's missing, won't derail his good form that he was showing.
I think he's a thoroughbred. I think he's
something different, isn't he?
He's a very good footballer, and he's a unit. He can look after himself. He moves the ball quickly. He plays with a sense of purpose. He's got a nice movement about him. I really like him, and I think, all things being equal, he can, you know, we can have a good 2 or 3 years with him, and I think he can be crucial to what lies ahead for Celtic over the next 2 or 3 seasons. He's a cracking player. He was unlucky at Tynecastle, although I have to say, when I saw the challenge, I thought,
I agree completely.
You're doing, what's the phrase they like to use these days? You're giving the referee a decision to make. My only issue there is that, yeah, while it may have been a red card, or where I can understand why the red card was given, it's not so much the performance of VAR or the officials on the day. It's basically that similar offences and similar incidents regularly go unpunished with regard to our biggest rivals. And that's the thing that sticks in the throat of a lot of Celtic fans. And now other clubs are beginning to notice that as well. But that's an entirely different debate that we can have.
I remember when I was doing the player ratings at Tynecastle, and I've made this point before, but the first thing that I wrote about Yang was, Yang looks dangerous. And 5 minutes later, he does something that's dangerous, though not in the way that you would have wanted him to be. That there, you know, you could talk about the VAR decision all day. The fact is Celtic were down to 10 men for the majority of the match, and they should have done better with 10 men because they showed that they can do it at Livingston with Maeda and Kyogo up front. I was surprised that they didn't revert to that again, but you know, it is what it is. I thought, I'm just going through the team on Sunday there, and you know, we could talk about the penalty decision that Iwata got against them at Tynecastle. And I've been hearing mixed things about Iwata's performance on Sunday, but from where I was sitting anyway, I thought he had a decent game, and he was vital in that last goal. It was Iwata. It was a goal that was made in Japan, you could say. He gets to the byline. Alistair Johnson, who I also thought had a good game on Sunday.
Yeah, it was his best game for a while.
He really looks as if he's getting back into the swing of things, which is good in the business end. But he passes the ball to Iwata at the byline. Iwata then plays a lovely first-time pass to Maeda, and Maeda's there. He can't miss, although I've seen him miss chances like that before, but he can't miss from that angle. Just Iwata, I don't know about you, Kevin, but I like the fact that he was forcing the issue there. He was annoyed at the way things were going. Too many, it was this horseshoe sort of football that was getting played. Iwata took the initiative and passed the ball out to, I think it was him that passed the ball out to Johnson. Johnson then gave it back, and he forced the issue rather than allowing things to just develop naturally. He wanted something to happen, and he did it.
I think there's been positive signs for me, not just against Livingston, but also against Hearts before we went down to 10, even before the penalty against Hearts. Whereas previously, we were playing it aimlessly around the back without purpose, with nobody willing to take responsibility. At Tynecastle, you were beginning to see, in the build-up to our penalty, even when we were down to 10 men, we were playing and with a lot more purpose from the back into the middle. In the second half, it, you know, less so. And against Livingston, there was something. After the game, I listened to Brendan Rodgers' interview on the radio, and he didn't seem best pleased with the overall performance. He seemed kind of reluctant to praise too much. Now, I know that you don't want to get down the road of being euphoric at beating Livingston 4-2 in the quarterfinal of the Scottish Cup at home. But there were aspects of that game, including Iwata's performance, that I thought these players are deciding to take the bull by the horns. You know, they are going to force it. They have been aware of the shortcomings and the uncertainty of the previous couple of months, and they've just decided, right, we're knuckling down. And you could see that. I totally agree with you about Iwata. But again, I also saw it at Tynecastle before it was taken out of our hands. And I get this feeling that there's a sense of purpose, a sense of desire, that they know these next 9 games are going to define our season, but it will also define the futures of these young men. You know, they're playing for their futures as well. Because we don't win that league, and you know, if we're beaten in the cup and we emerge from this season with nothing, then that squad gets dismantled.
Yep.
It's as simple as that. So they're playing,
it's a rebuild then, isn't it?
They're playing for their futures. You know, they're playing to show the manager and the fans, we deserve to be here. We want you to associate us with winning trophies in testing circumstances. And the fans will forever be in their debt and forever be grateful to them if they can win the league and or win the double in what has been a very, very challenging season.
It's been an incredibly challenging season, a roller coaster season, and not necessarily an enjoyable roller coaster. Too many ups and downs, not a lot of stability in terms of the form book, but Celtic know where they're at. They've got 9 games now, plus the potentially 2 games in the Scottish Cup to win a League and Cup double. So that's got to be the aim. That's got to be the minimum this season. They've got to win the two remaining competitions that they're in. Anything else is, you know, unsatisfactory. And that's just the way that Celtic are. Before we finish off, Kevin, is there any other sort of talking points that you want to bring up or discuss? I realise that we've just been going through individual players and the performances on Sunday, but is there anything else that you want to talk about?
I'm kind of aware, and I've fallen into this trap as well, that the, you know, are we so accustomed to not just winning, but being comfortable, you know, being automatic favourites at this stage of the season, for, you know, forget the COVID season, but for, you know, 11 out of the last 12 seasons. And I know there was fairly close run the season before COVID, when the season was shut down early, but by and large, when we're at this stage of the season, we're clear favourites. You know, we're playing with momentum. There's confidence. This is the first season I can remember for, you know, 12, 13 years where we. You know, again, discounting the season with no fans, whether, you know, there's uncertainty, there's competition, and it's not just from Rangers. It's for the fact that, you know, there's a Hearts have got a better team than they've had in years. Hibs, I can tell you, are better than they were. You know, he's getting a tune out of them. You know, and I wonder if this unbroken, predicted, almost guaranteed success that we've had over so many years has bred in us, and include myself in this entitlement. And I know that there have been errors made in recruitment, etc., but I wonder if we and some of the fans, and I've noticed quite a lot of the empty seats the last couple of midweeks. If we just need to get a grip, say, you know, we're in a battle, it's closer than we would want. However, that happens, you know, happens all over the world. Let's just get this over and done with, and let's just back the players. And, you know, I go onto some of the websites, and at the first sign of any negativity in any game, you know, when you look back at some of the comments to see who the various websites' players of the game were, and you're going, man, if these guys are throwing their toys out of the pram in the first 10 minutes of the first pass that's gone astray. And I've just detected a little bit of that at Parkhead. And as I said, I'm probably as guilty of that as anybody. That's all. Just wanted to get that off my chest.
No, absolutely. And it's the perfect platform to do so in the Celtic Way morning briefing. Thank you very much, Kevin, for joining me this morning. Hamish and Tony will be back tomorrow. It's my day off tomorrow, so it'll be Tony and Hamish back on. As always, this video, and we thank our sponsors, MPH Group, for sponsoring this video as well as every video that we do, pre- and post-match videos as well as pre-recorded videos and post press conference videos too. If you're looking for plumbing, heating, kitchens or bathroom work, then look no further than MPH Group, and we thank them once again for sponsoring this video. Please press that subscribe button at the bottom of the page. It's completely free, and it'll get you free access to the comments section. Sorry I couldn't bring up more comments today. I think the discussion's been quite good, so we've just kept it going as far as we can. And if you are interested in subscribing and supporting us just that little bit more, then please subscribe to the Celtic Way website. £4 for 4 months, £18 for a year. You'll be supporting top quality football journalism covering the club you love. If you visit www.celticway.co.uk/subscribe for more information. Kevin, thank you very much for joining me this morning.
No bother, Ryan. All the best.
And thank you to everybody in the comment section for getting involved. We'll be back at the same time tomorrow. Cheers, guys.